Don't let anybody cheat you out of the reward of grace. The reward of grace reminds us that I am nothing outside of Jesus. It reminds me that I need him to approach God. It reminds me that I, outside of Christ, there's no merit of my own. But it also reminds me that in Christ, I am somebody.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel, till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
You don't look so happy.
Yeah, you're very observant. I'm not too happy.
What seems to be the problem?
I ordered an air conditioner for my daughter's room, and it's defective.
So, send it back.
I am going to send it back. The problem is that they want me to pay the shipping to return it to them.
That can't be cheap.
It's not. And there was nothing in the paperwork about having to pay for return shipping.
Well, you shouldn't have to pay for that. Sounds like you got ripped off.
Yeah, you think?
No one likes to get ripped off. Be it faulty merchandise, unfair business practices, or unnecessary requirements placed on our lives. The latter was happening here at the end of Colossians chapter 2. God's grace is a free gift to all who will accept it. Don't let anyone cheat you by making you do more than that.
Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for communicating to us so clearly in your word. Give us now the ability to be able to understand and to apply what we see and what we hear in your word to our lives. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember the early part of this book, he talked about the completion of Jesus Christ and how we are complete in him. We noticed even at the earlier part of chapter 2 that in Christ we have salvation, that we identify with his death, burial, and resurrection, and we enjoy all the spiritual inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus. And so at the end of this chapter, it's very interesting. Starting in verse 16, he begins now to challenge us based on the completeness of Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead that Jesus represents. We are challenged that we should not allow ourselves to be cheated out of all that Jesus has for us. And so he begins with this idea that many of us can be cheated out of the grace of God. You know, we get ripped off in our society by a lot of things. Some people think we're ripped off with taxes. Some people look at how we're ripped off by merchants of products that don't live up to all of their claims. Have you ever bought something and when it comes, it doesn't live up to all that they advertised? And we get ripped off by all kinds of things in all different directions. And then you come to church and Paul is warning here in this portion of scripture not to get cheated out of the completion that's in Jesus Christ. You know, there are many religions that will cheat you out of the grace of God, but we understand that. The difficult thing is to understand that there are many churches, amen, there are churches with Christ on the doorway that will also cheat you and get you gypped out of the grace of God if you're not very careful. And so Paul, in this portion of scripture, gives us three warnings. I want you to take note of these three warnings and make sure that you're not one of those that gets gypped out of the grace of God. First of all, in verse 16, he says that that we need to not let anybody judge us based on rituals and traditions. In the Apostle Paul's day, there were Judaizers who taught that it was not enough just to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It was not enough just to believe in him, but that you also had to keep all the Jewish rituals and festivals and all the ceremonial rules and regulations. You had to maintain those ceremonial traditions that were handed down from the Lord through Moses. and including circumcision and all the different festivals and Sabbaths that they had. These Judaizers went from church to church, many times right behind the Apostle Paul, teaching people that they had to maintain these traditions and rituals. But in verse 17, Paul makes it clear that these practices were given as a shadow pointing to the substance of Christ. How many of you realize that when they killed an animal and slayed it, it was only a picture of what Jesus was going to do as the Lamb of God laying down his life? How many of you realize that the Passover that they had was just a picture of the sacrifice that was going to take place with Jesus Christ on the cross? How many of you realize that the Feast of Tabernacles and all the various festivals that they had were just pictures that pointed to Jesus Christ? And so once the reality of the work of Jesus was complete, there was no more need for all those ceremonies and all those traditions. No more need to continually practice those ceremonies. And so on this side of the cross, when we look back to the cross, we don't need those rituals and ceremonies that they used to point forward to the cross. Are you with me? And so we have no more need for animal sacrifices, no more need for all those festivals, whether they are annual, monthly, or weekly, which is what he's referring to here in the text. And so we need to make sure that Paul's warning is taken and heeded, that we should not allow ourselves to get ripped off and cheated out of the grace and freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We tend to judge each other many times based on those outward appearance things rather than on a heart of love. And just like those Judaizers, they wanted to see all this outward activity with regard to the ceremonial law. And many times we as Christians, while we don't go back to, killing animals, we tend to judge each other based on outward performance. But in 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord told Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but God, what? He looks at the heart. He's looking on the inside. God has a whole different agenda. And so we need to make sure that the rules that you follow are given by God to demonstrate love for God and love for others, because that's what God is looking at. He's not so concerned about your outward performance of various rituals and religious activity and the things you can do. He's looking at the heart. Now, keep in mind that when you love God and love other people, it is going to affect your performance. Amen. It's going to drive you and motivate you to do certain things, but don't let anybody judge you based on just simply those outward appearances. We need to look at the heart. That's where God is paying attention. And so don't let anybody judge you as being unspiritual because you don't follow those ceremonial traditions or other man-made rituals. If they do judge you, don't accept their judgment. You can't stop somebody else from how they judge you, but don't accept their judgment. When they do judge you, look on your heart, examine yourself, and make sure that you have a heart of love for God and love for others, and that is the motivation for all that you do. And then you can stand firm on the rock of the grace of God in your life. Amen. Look at verse 18. There's something else here. There's another warning. And he tells us here, don't let anybody cheat you out of the reward of grace. The early Jewish Christians had a practice of feeling unworthy to approach God. And it carries out into our modern Christianity as well. There are many people who have a feeling of being unworthy to come to God and to approach God. Has anybody here ever felt unworthy to come to God? Ever felt unworthy to approach him? Well, that was common even in the early Jewish communities. And so what they did is they invoked angels to come and mediate for them on their behalf. They called on the angels because they didn't feel like they were worthy to come into God's presence. So they called on the angels and prayed to the angels and had the angels mediate for them before the Lord. And Paul calls this false humility. Very interesting. False humility. It was a humility that failed to recognize the completion that we have in Christ. It was a humility that stopped at the point that you're not worthy in and of yourself to approach God, so you need somebody else to help you. And it failed to recognize that in Christ, we can come boldly to the Father. That in Christ, we have access at the throne of grace. It was a false humility that failed to recognize the completion that we have because Christ is the fullness of God. We are complete in him, it says in chapter 2 and verse 10. And in Christ, we are bold enough to come strutting right into the throne of grace. I like that. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And in Christ, if you are in Christ, you can approach the throne of grace. But you know what ends up happening? We find this same false humility in even our Christianity today. So many people feel that they have to go through a priest or go through the Mary, the mother of Jesus, or go through a saint that's in heaven to have their prayers heard. That false sense of humility causes us to feel that we're not worthy to go into the throne of grace. We need somebody else who's more worthy than us to approach the throne of grace. Are you with me? That is a false humility that denies the completion of the work of Jesus Christ. And so we need to notice the contrast in verse 18. I like that because there's this contrast between humility, which can be defined as lowliness of mind. This true humility is a lowliness of mind. It's understanding who we are and where we stand in relation to God. True lowliness of mind can be contrasted, however, with what Paul here calls the fleshly mind. You see, a fleshly mind produces pride. It's that false humility that is really pride disguised as humility. And so we need to make sure that we are not ripped off and cheated out of the reward of God's grace by circumventing that grace that we have in Jesus Christ and letting our pride take us somewhere else, that false humility take us in a different direction. When you rely on anything other than the grace of God, you are operating with a fleshly pride, a pride-filled mind. We need to take that to heart. So don't let anybody cheat you out of the reward of grace. The reward of grace reminds us that I am nothing outside of Jesus. It reminds me that I need him to approach God. It reminds me that outside of Christ, there's no merit of my own. But it also reminds me that in Christ, I am somebody. I'm a child of the King, that in Christ, I do have access. I do have value. I do have worth. And so I don't need a false humility. I don't need to drag my chin on the street and on the ground with any sense of false humility. I can understand that I am somebody and I have value and God loves me. Is there an amen in the house? And so don't let anybody cheat you out of the reward, the value that the grace of God gives us that we have in Jesus. But there is a third one that Paul gives us a warning. He says, don't cheat yourself with religious rules and regulations to do for you what only Christ can do. You see, we need to remember that Paul already said in chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that you are buried with Christ, and we are raised with Christ. We are made alive with Christ, and we're forgiven by Christ. There is no rule, there is no regulation, there is no tradition that can do all that for you. There is no appearance of religiosity that you can acquire that's going to give you the standing that the grace of God gives us. And so then the question is, if you have identified with Christ, with his death and resurrection, why go back to keeping rules and regulations? Why go back to following traditions that are helpless to save you? And yet, many people would prefer to just give me a list of do's and don'ts that I can do, and then I can feel good about myself and feel as though I've accomplished something. And even in the Church of Jesus Christ, there is a tendency to just create some regulations, some rules to follow. If you come to church every Sunday, if you give your tithes to the Lord, if you don't cuss and don't, you know, whatever the rules are, you can come up with 10 of your own. We love to have just a set of rules and regulations that I can check off and say, well, I do all that, and so I'm in good shape. But let me tell you something. Keeping all those rules, following all those regulations can't do for you what the blood of Jesus does. And we need to acknowledge that we are only where we are because of Jesus, because of the grace of God active in our lives. There is no rule, there is no regulation, there is no tradition that can do all that for you. And so when you focus on those things, you're focusing on things that perish, things that can't accomplish what they claim to accomplish. Think about some of the things that we tend to focus on to make us look spiritual. The way we dress, the language we use, how often we pray, the daily bread that's sitting on the table, the criticism we offer to others that make us feel good about ourselves. All those things may be good works, but they feed our pride. Because every time you check off the list of what you do, your chest puffs up. And now I'm better than somebody else because he only can check off 3 things on the list. And I'm doing all this for God. It is only the grace of God that humbles our hearts and allows us to stand tall, recognizing that there's nothing that I do to deserve what God has done for me. I call myself a child of the King, a son of God, not because I do A, B, C, and D, but because God first loved me. He reached out to me when I was running in the opposite direction. And so it's only the grace of God that with humble hearts allows us to stand tall and live powerfully in this life. And then lastly, I want you to see something in verse 23. In verse 23, it says, these things indeed I have an appearance of wisdom. These things have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. And so I want to challenge you that we need to rely only on the finished work of Jesus and not on checking off a list of things that we do and don't do. Those other things have an appearance of wisdom, the text says, but they are of no value when it comes to living a victorious, spirit-filled life. I love that song, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand, All other ground is what? Sinking sand. The finished work of Jesus helps us to understand that everything is good, even while the world seems so wretched. The grace is not a ticket to a life down here on Fantasy Island, but rather gives us strength to go through the disappointments and the struggles and the issues that we face in life, the things that we have to deal with in our families and on the job, the financial concerns, the health concerns, all the things that fill up our lives and disappoint us, the issues that we have. It is the grace of God that empowers us and gives us the strength to be able to go through all that. God's grace will pardon and cleanse within. That's what the hymn writer said. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Grace that is abundantly given to us that covers all of our need. And why would I look to anything else for my standing with God? Why would I turn to any activity or any ministry or anything that I do? Why would I go in that direction when it can never accomplish what we want? Why would I claim anything but the blood of Jesus poured out on Calvary as satisfaction to all that God requires of me? And so as we rely on the grace of God, may our hearts be so motivated to please him that we will refuse to continue in sin, that we will refuse to continue with bitterness in our hearts, that we will refuse to continue and fall short of total commitment to his service and our ministry. May we love Jesus more and more and follow him in our daily lives. Amen. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And maybe there's somebody here and you've been taking a bit of pride in some of the things that you do and some of the activity that you have and the things that you accomplish, that people look at. And maybe we need to refocus on the grace of God that's active in our lives. We could do nothing without him.
Stay right there. Dr. Hart will return with the close of today's teaching in just a moment. Right now, we have an offer you will not want to miss. This is a must-have booklet to add to your spiritual library. It's called How to Pray. The booklet addresses many of the most common questions about prayer and will encourage you, as a child of your Heavenly Father, to confidently confide in him. Anchored firmly in the scriptures, these pages include very practical suggestions designed to help you pray more often and with more confidence as you weave prayer more tightly into the fabric of your daily life. If you'd like a free copy, contact our office at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. You can reach us by phone at 215-361-8111. Our web address is www.gogfministries.org. Here's Dr. Hart again with the close of today's message.
Maybe I'm talking to somebody here and you're not sure that you are a recipient of that grace. You're not sure that you are a child of God, that you're a child of the King. You're not sure that if you died today, that you're on your way to eternity with him. And right now, before you leave, you can make that decision to just receive Jesus into your life. Ask him to come into your life and make you the person that he wants you to be, to forgive you your sin. Would you do it? You can do it right now. And all of us need to be, I believe, in prayer, because the fact of the matter is that we all struggle with that thing called pride. We all look at the things that we do. Lord, help us, humble us. Ask God to help you. And gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who laid down his life for us, the God who sent his only begotten Son to save us, to redeem us. Lord, help us to rely on that grace. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But you loved us anyhow. Lord, for each one that raised their hands, you know their need. We ask that you would make yourself real to them, that you would work in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, may all of us learn to appreciate the grace of God in us as it works in our hearts. Bless us now, we pray. Even as we leave this place, may we radiate that grace to others around us. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Sam Butler, and just before Sheila King closes us out today, we want to express our thanks to all of you who have stood with us through these very challenging times. Because of your faithfulness in prayer and financial support, our doors have remained open, our staff has been sustained, our broadcast is being heard, souls are being reached, and lives are being changed. All of this because of our faithful God and his faith-filled people. Special thanks to our prayer fellowship partners, those who faithfully pray and support us through their monthly giving. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, won't you consider becoming a prayer fellowship partner? Join hands with us as we continue our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. Today's challenges are great, but our God is greater. As Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? He that did not hesitate to spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, can we not trust him to give us with him everything else that we need? Can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble? Can pain? Can persecution? Can lack of clothes and food or even danger to life and limb? No, beloved, in all these things, we win an overwhelming victory through him who has proven his love to us. And like Paul, let us be absolutely convinced that neither death nor life, nor messenger of heaven, nor monarchs on earth, neither what happens today or what may happen tomorrow, neither a power from on high or a power from below, nor anything else in all of creation has the ability to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Know that it is our prayer that you remain safe and that all your needs are being met in Jesus' name. Here's Sister Sheila.
It is our prayer that this broadcast be a blessing to you and equips you to fight the good fight of faith. Remember to send us your prayer requests, and don't forget our offer for this month, the booklet, How to Pray. You can contact us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. You can reach us by phone at 215-361-8111. Our web address is www.gogfministries.org. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.